Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Sorry for not being there yesterday. I had an unpredicted event happen and I had to handle that and I had to cancel the show at the very, well, 1 hour before the show. But that leads to a longer show tonight because there are things I wanted to talk about yesterday and things to talk about today as the Fed has tightened its interest rates and what that means is there will be less money available. We will not live in a society of abundance. And for example, the price of houses should go down. But the reason I say don't worry is this should be the way the economy always works. There shouldn't be these instances of high abundance funded by fictitious sources of money. And so really what we're about to enter is what the economy should be. It should be a cutthroat world in which only the best survive. And I think you're going to see a lot of what the worst of society disappear. I was thinking about bread tubing, and you can't help but notice that bread tubing has been rising right after our branch of the internet. That is, in 2016, 2017, it was all right wing. And then 2018, 19, 20, that's the rise of bread tubing. And I can't help but think that much of the bread tubing is ultimately one of these forces that I point to as parasitism. That is, forces that can sustain themselves in a free economy. But if you inject money artificially in the economy, then there are plenty of leftists, plenty of government employees, plenty of children of middle-class families somehow funded by the state that eventually lead to bread tubing being capable of surviving. That's the kind of thing I expect, a rebalancing. And of course, that's our YouTube world, bread tubing, but I expect the same across the economy. I think there are a lot of people who are living fictitious lives, working in fictitious jobs that the economy doesn't need, and that if it was a little more tight, they wouldn't exist. Think about the social workers, the government of employees of all kind, administrative employees. Much of this should disappear, but will they tighten so much that we will get an effect like this? I don't know, because they're very attached at the system, and I don't think the leftists will let go. In some way, I expect some form of money printing to come back eventually, but at least we're going to get a relief. Jack Acid says we have a rigged market, not a free market. It must crash sooner or later. Absolutely, it should, and I hope it does, because I've set my life to be able to handle any crash. That's partly why I work on sustaining a greenhouse and being able to have low expenses and depend on nothing and have no loans and own my car, own land and houses. So that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of lifestyle that can survive any Fed shaking. John Drake says the Fed is still scheming to print more money as they raise rates by 0.75%. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there will be other ways. And I don't think the government will necessarily want to self-retract. And so no matter what happens, the government will still be a big entry of money into the economy, but perhaps at higher rate, perhaps at a bigger debt cost, you know. Din Olegovich says, I love Little Mermaid. Disney was good a long time ago. I haven't watched The Little Mermaid, but it is true that Disney was once good. The eternal worry of homeschooling, not properly socializing the kids. You homeschool? How do you teach your kids to be social? The answer to give is, I lock them up for 8 hours, make fun of their clothes, push them in the hallway, tease them for not conforming, and give them an iPad so they don't have to respond to or look anyone in the eye when we go out. That is a perfect description of the kind of socialization that your child will get at public school. Much could be added to this. I mean, it's even worse than this. You're also going to have your child at public school being told that he is an oppressor due to his white skin, and he's gonna get told a lot of things to bully him. Some random bloke says, "Are you going to do Jordan Peterson versus Richard Dawkins?" Yes, since it was asked, let's do it now. I won't review the segments of it. I won't play it because it's a long conversation, but I can give you my thoughts. It's too bad because this is a typical interview in which Jordan Peterson's inability to care about anything else than the inside of his own mind. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When I say to people, introspection is dangerous, introspection will make you a terrible, terrible interviewer if you're too stunned and excited at the prospect of analyzing your own mind. You're going to end up like Jordan Peterson in the Richard Dawkins interview, which is you have a guy, Richard Dawkins, who has contributed to what I consider to be the most important scientific theory of all time, the modern replicator synthesis of evolution. And yet, Jordan Peterson barely touches anything that's dear to Dawkins. Instead, Jordan Peterson goes on analysis of symbols and, oh my God, it's very complicated. So sorry, I have to take 10 minutes to explain it to you. But the snake was biting its own tail, both in the South American culture and the Scandinavian culture. Now, what do you say to that, Richard Dawkins? It's like, holy shit, Jordan. But there is still some gain we had from this interview. There is still something very Richard Dawkins about this interview, and it's that Richard Dawkins basically gave the last slash to Jordan Peterson on the question of Jordan Peterson's equivocation of the term truth. Of course, the big dump that was done on Jordan Peterson was back in his days with the Sam Harris conversation. And I had analyzed this for 7.5 hours, playing the whole thing and explaining where he was wrong back in the days. He tried to do it again, and he got severely hit by Dawkins, who basically explained to him there is an objective truth. Because Jordan Peterson at some point says, "Well, the truth, you know, this is something that can be so blurry that there can." And it's like, no, really, no. You can redefine the truth for it to be blurry. You can redefine it to be the attempt of humans at getting at the truth, and then it's imperfect. You can define it as the functioning of academic science, and then it's imperfect. But the truth itself, the truth itself, and Richard Dawkins made a good point for this. The objective truth is what he's interested in, and that is not blurry at all. The question whether the chimpanzees are our cousins in some sense is a question to which the answer is yes or no. Even the question of whether there's an intentional creator of the universe is a factual, objective question, ultimately, even if we don't have the tools to answer it. So, Dawkins was solid on this, and the thing that's very Dawkins about this interview is I think Dawkins was as direct as anyone ever was toward Jordan Peterson by telling him, "You are drunk on symbols." And oh my God, is that a nice way to phrase it? You're drunk on symbols. And Dawkins points correctly to the problem with the symbol approach of Jordan Peterson, which is, what do you mean in the end? Because you can say, "Oh, I noticed a parallel between A and B." What do you mean in the end? Do you mean that this parallel shows something deeper? Do you mean that it's a an opening for a better understanding of how these two things relate, there is always a better way to approach a correspondence between two phenomena in the universe. There's always clearer language than that which is used by Jordan Peterson. And ultimately, what it amounts to is Jordan Peterson, therefore, is a very subtle, very complex, very subtle and fine and extremely talented liar. He is talking with the words of science and he doesn't mean them. And I know that he knows a lot of things and he can drop on a dime, he can drop studies that exist in the domain, in his domain of psychology, and he knows them well. But when he engages on metaphysical questions and scientific and epistemologic matters, he's just a bullshitter. And Dawkins told him, not as directly as I would, but as directly as it ever was done toward Jordan. So that's it. That's the interview. I mean, other than this, we don't get to properly explore the depth of Dawkins' knowledge of evolution, simply because Jordan Peterson takes too much space in this interview. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button below the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats and questions, and it's the right way to support the show. Alternatively, if you don't like Odyssey, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Defined says, Peterson says A plus B equals C plus D, but Dawkins says A plus B equals A plus B. Okay, maybe. It's hard to phrase it in equations like this, because it would look like you are claiming that Dawkins is merely circular when he's not merely circular. School shootings and the boy crisis. That was another interview I watched yesterday. Dr. Warren Farrell. He's the guy who wrote The Boy Crisis. And it's very good. It's very good. It's an interview that you should watch. It touches a lot of the important themes of masculinity and the oppression against masculinity in our modern world. It's insufficient, though. I think that the Boy Crisis guy, Dr. Warren Farrell, is always at the border of delivering perfectly on that subject, but he's missing two things. So basically, he's talking about, yes, the problem of family courts. And I'm happy because Jordan Peterson acknowledged in that interview that he once was for a woman to be favored in family court with very young children, because he had the impression that that they were the best caretakers of very young infant, and he has changed his view on this. He now understands the whole corruption that happens when you do that, which is that women will demand higher amounts of time with the child, and they will never give it away. So, and with the double standard applied to men, of course, that's a way to start the life of the infant that way and to keep it that way forever. Jordan has stepped back on his old position. I'm very happy about this. This Dr. Warren Farrell slightly over-psychologized men, and, you know, he's trying almost to explain to women why they have to respect men. And I don't feel super comfortable about this approach, because in a way he appeals to men's feeling perhaps too much, and he's kind of trying to act as a translator between men and women. People are reporting buffering. Hopefully this will improve. I don't know what I can do here. Just if you want to click on the auto button below the video, you can choose a lower quality video, and perhaps with your internet speed, it will not buffer anymore. So for those for whom it's buffering, try this. Defined says Dawkins is indeed woke, sadly, but the things he got right, he was very straightforward about. Yeah, that's what I like about Dawkins, despite his intentional ignorance of the revolutionary phenotype, which he should consider and he should address. Dawkins, at least on the subjects on which he's weak, is not going to spend the whole interview on them. He knows himself very well. He knows what are his good points, and he knows how to stick to them. So that's something you have to respect with Dawkins. He's going to give a couple of comments on wokeness, but he's not going to make it the center of attention, because ultimately, as I've explained a few days ago, Dawkins is himself guilty of wokeness. Dawkins, you know, has been cheering to put women forward in science, for example, to an extent where he ended up recommending the wrong people, starting with his intro to the meme machine, a book with which he doesn't even agree, but doesn't matter. It's a woman in science, so let's encourage her. Followed by the backing of Jacqueline Glenn as a militant atheist. And Jacqueline Glenn was not an intellectual. She was a plagiarist who was making YouTube videos by literally reading out loud the sentences of people like Sam Harris. And I was part of those who discovered these funny videos filled with plagiarism. It was a great moment of the internet, because plagiarizing for a YouTube video, really? It's YouTube. It's about you. Anyways, going back to Dr. Warren Farrell, there are two things that are missing in this interview. The one thing that's missing, first, is on the side of Jordan Peterson. I would have liked, because they make a proper diagnosis of the problem with the treatment of males in our society. And basically, the male strategy for educating children is being dismissed as violent or too rough, when in fact it's a very much needed component of the parenting machine. And instead of being welcomed as such, and in fact cheered upon, it's being rejected and it's being excluded from society. That is the perfect diagnosis of what's wrong with the way males are treated in our society. It's true. Now, one thing then that falls upon your shoulder is, how did we get there politically, and how do we get out of there politically? And unfortunately, Dr. Warren Farrell doesn't have much of a political project. He doesn't have this kind of male right activist type of drive that would say, okay, let us engage in the political arena with the weapons that were used against us by females in general, but even more generally by liberals, including effeminated males, and let us win the political arena in some form. This could be the form of democracy, although I don't believe in democracy. It could be one way it can go, or it could be a kind of libertarian approach of, let's leave the centers where oppression of male happens and let's reconcentrate in places like New Hampshire and create a new world for ourselves. There is nothing in what Dr. Warren Farrell says that is a proper political project. And it would have been extremely important in front of Jordan Peterson to have this balancing view. Because what is the credo of Jordan Peterson? Care about your happiness, never engage in ideology, politics, or whatever. That's literally in his books, The 12 Rules for Life, the second one. So there's a problem with this deactivation of the only mean by which men could improve their situation. Because men are currently in this situation for no other reason than the fact that between 40 to 80 years ago, in various countries, women have been allowed to vote. And I'm not saying I'm against that, but women being allowed to vote has transformed our governments into child kidnapping entities that take children from their fathers and force them in a life with single mothers. There is no other reason that this happened than female vote. And if you don't believe me, and I'm not saying that there aren't men who have voted in that direction too, but those men wouldn't have been numerous enough to cause the current state of affair. Effeminated men wouldn't have been enough to take our society radically toward the anti-family, anti-father stance. We need someone to go to Jordan Peterson, and it could have been Dr. Warren Farrell, to say, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong when you say to males, don't get interested in political ideology. It's not good for you. It's the only thing. Because our enemies are they are using political ideology. Now, I'm not saying that the solution will be to convince people or to persuade women, although it could be a solution, but it's typically not my solution. But certainly taking consciousness of your political interest and perhaps leaving a state to join another, that is definitely a political strategy that people should be discussing to avoid this problem. Once the states that oppress fathers get punished for oppressing fathers by losing heads, by losing head counts, by losing income, by losing tax bases, then it's going to look bad in these states. When their entire state is filled with single mothers and school shooter boys that they've raised, it's going to look very bad. And we should discuss this, and there's no other umbrella to discuss this than identity, because you have to know that you're a male, and you have to know that your political interests are getting attacked, and then you have to get together and start finding a solution. Mama JF says, why do you say you're not against that? Because I have to. Because you cannot advocate for the discrimination against a group. You cannot ask that a group not be given the right to vote. And so I have to do it. And so I do it. Other questions, Mama JF? The second point of, and I know I'm getting great super chats. Thank you so much, you guys, for supporting the show. I'll get to the super chats, but I wanted to finish my commenting on this interview. There is another point of critique that applies to both Dr. Warren Farrell and Jordan Peterson here. It's when they say, when they describe the school shooter and the school shooter starting to develop fantasies of violence and revenge. And they start saying at the end of the show, if you are experiencing these fantasies of violence and revenge, go talk to someone. That is an extremely bad counsel. It's an extremely bad tip in the world of leftism, feminism, and anti-white supremacy and red flag laws. You could permanently affect your rights if you talk about these ideas even to a very trustable psychologist. So I think that when they say this, they don't understand that most likely you will be sending boys toward even further oppression, because the average person to whom they will talk will be their sister, their female social worker. It's all going to be against their interest. Mama JF is here. What's up, Mama JF?
Hey, me, I can testify, Key. I'm a woman, and like, seriously, I don't even know what the fuck is happening. Like,
Not at all, like, at any point in time? Like, no. Right now, do you understand that we are in physical space? Do you see the three dimensions of the universe? Or it's all like a cloud in your head? It's cloudy?
Like, seriously, this whole life experience has been really overwhelming. sometimes I don't even know where I am. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And but you vote.
Yes.
So the society is telling you, in your blurry state that you are, we still want your guidance to determine who should lead the entire country.
But usually I just listen to your show and I repeat what you say. Seriously, like, what the fuck?
Well, thank you, Mama JF. That was a rare insight into just how it feels inside the female mind. My God, we are learning so much. Ariel Suarez says, trustable psychologist, lol. Yes, it's a term I've used, and I know that it's kind of contradictory. All right, let's have a look at the super chat. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, I recently watched the first Sonic the Hedgehog movie. The bad guy, played by Jim Carrey, brags about having 5 PhDs and is a super genius villain. The good guy happens to be in a mixed race relationship. It's so suggestive, I think you should check it out. Very interesting. It never occurred to me that I should watch Sonic the Hedgehog, and I never did. So I'll be watching it. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Some random bloke says, Dawkins, in his long career, has never touched on race. He wrote a book and mentioned, what would be the point of investigating differences in intelligence in races? That's it. He is a woke coward. Yes, Dawkins sometimes will address the question of race, but he will set his approach to the question so that it only remains superficial. You will always hear Dawkins go back to, maybe there's some utility of race, and he's going to give the example of at the hospital, suppose that there are certain medical disorders that are more affecting whites or more affecting blacks. You would want to know, and then there would be a legitimate utilitarian function to defining races and to know about races. But that's such a shy approach to race, because on the contrast the attitude of Dawkins on this question, which, oh, you know, yeah, we may want to construct this construct, maybe this construct has some significance for some people. That's basically the postmodern leftist approach in which he will criticize in other contexts. See how he sticks to strongly a statement of objective truth about chimpanzees are our cousins. He says that is an example of a truth that it's objective, it doesn't matter if you think contrary, it doesn't matter if you don't know it, but it's true. Why don't we have the Richard Dawkins interested in truth whenever the word race is raised? Why is it that Dawkins suddenly become a postmodernist? And, oh, you know, depends. Maybe some doctor might feel like that's a truth, and maybe it would be a useful feeling for that moment. How do we get Dawkins revert to postmodernism whenever that subject comes in? The answer is that I've said it years ago. Dawkins is deep inside an SJW. He cannot stand on principle for truth to the extreme where he would get socially cancelled, to the extreme where he would be viewed negatively by his leftist friends, that he's a creature of the system, and so he's not going to behave outside of the system. By the way, it's precisely why I've been so interested about stating the truth about race, it's because I knew that some people were due for a test in this public intellectual business. Some people were due to be put on the crucible and to be tested. By the way, talking about the crucible, before I talk about the crucible, let's address Jan's super chat. He sent $100. Thank you so much for being so generous with the show. He says, my industry is full of venture-funded companies with fancy offices, but they produce nothing. They steal good employees from the companies that actually produce value. We need a good recession to bankrupt these bad companies to move employees back to places where they actually are productive. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I think that even something like YouTube might be, you know, YouTube is a big monopoly right now, but even YouTube might qualify under this description. They are a specialized form of parasites that live off the funding flows from the stock market and the excitement around their companies rather than their actual cash flow. And that's like 90% of the companies in the tech sector. And this has to stop. This has to stop. We are still in the tech bubble in many ways. And you are absolutely correct. We need the recession to just clean, just eradicate, just lawn mown this economy so that there are no more weeds, there are no more dandelions. All right, let's talk about The Crucible. It's a movie that I didn't know at all about, and it's a high-quality, very good movie. The Crucible, 1996. Somehow Mama JF wanted to watch it, maybe because I was on the YouTube show The Crucible, and she was like, oh, well, you know, in her cloudy mind, they are capable of association. They will associate an idea with the same word to a completely different idea with the same word. So she saw me on The Crucible on YouTube, and she saw that there was a movie called The Crucible, and she said, "Jeff, we need to watch this." And I'm so happy we watched it because it's a very good movie about the witch Salem hunt. And it's not what you would think, you know. They really show the female drive, and this is presumably, I don't know the century in which it's happening. I think it's a theater play that they have converted to a movie, but it's happening a long time ago, and yet you see young woman lying, resulting in the complete destruction of the social fabric of a village in America. And so it's a bunch of young women who are kind of pressured by law to start inventing stuff, but also because they are practicing some kind of witchcraft in the forest. And they end up to escape the responsibility of the law, which would find them guilty. They end up inventing all sorts of stuff, and they end up having many of the people in the village killed by justice because they invent this stuff. It's a movie about false allegations in the 17th century, says John Drake. Okay, I didn't know exactly when it was, but it's... And it's these trials are absolutely unjust, and it's exactly how the world has converged in family courts. So it gives you a good idea of what you will have to go through in family courts today. But I'm astonished that we have a movie of that quality that's basically there to explain to the leftists, look, your mob isn't right. Your mob approach isn't the right way to go. And yet, the leftists want to understand nothing of it and want to continue the oppression of men. In any case, it's an excellent movie, and I highly recommend it if you've not watched it. InfoWars report hidden message discovered in the background of viral TikTok video. Someone was sending this to me and they were saying, Jeff, they are combining boobs to push right-wing talking points. And I was like, okay, this is innovative. This has never been done before. Boobs plus right-wing talking points. I want to see it.
What you're about to see is a little bit sexy. Let's watch. It's about damn time. In a minute, I'm gonna need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up.
Feeling fussy, walking in my Balenciennes, trying to... So basically, she shows her boobs while there are statements against the replacement of white people in white society. And she's dancing over pop music. I can see this working, I guess, on TikTok. But we've seen this before and we've had a much cleverer approach to it. It used to be the case that the woman with boobs would actually show dressed up and would kind of debate and talk about stuff. Just the boobs and the dancing with the talking points, I think it's a little distillated to my taste. Authorities cannot locate or serve Ezra Miller after he was accused of grooming a teen. And of course, I've been talking about this news item before, but this news item comes back. They're looking for him because he may be emotionally and physically abusing an 18-year-old activist. The problem is an 18-year-old can be hanging out with him. And I don't care if they're gay or... I don't care if he convinced him of being gay. The parents have been letting their child from 12-year-old to 18-year-old spend time with this guy. Now he's 18 years old. They go away. They take the plane or they take a car and they just drive away. They are adults. The moment at which you had to intervene was between 12 and 18 years old. Now that your child is 18 years old, he can be as gay as he wants, and we won't stop it. Sorry. I know that it's extremely worrying to me how our society is converging toward 18 years old not having liberty anymore. They want a system that goes and catch them, and that system is, oh, well, he's being abused. Well, I don't know that. It seems to me like he's taken his right to be gay. And he went on a gay spree across the country. You should have done something when he was 12 years old, because then you had rights. Silver Spider says, people are so used to the schools watching their kids between 12 and 18, they forgot how to do it themselves. Exactly. It's like, yeah, I would totally have encouraged these parents to not let their child a single second with this guy. I mean, are you going to send your 12-year-old to this guy? No. I'm going to insist that there are at all time that there is a kilometer of separation between this guy and my child, and that at no point they can interact. But they didn't do it. They allowed him to groom him in the past, but now your child has become an adult, so it's not grooming anymore. Thousands of Sydney homes plunged into darkness as Aussie price cap policy sparks energy shortage. Yeah, Australia is not doing good. Energy shortage. They have also increased their minimal salary by $5, something like this. It's big changes, and it's changes that will contribute to the current recession, because it will become impossible, unviable to run business. But I don't know. Are there still businesses in Australia? I have no idea. All I know is that throughout my YouTube career, at the beginning of my YouTube career, if you were sending me an Australian dollar, I was receiving a Canadian dollar. And now, if you send me an Australian dollar, I receive 50 cents. There's something wrong with your economy, Australia. The Bias News reports, grand jury indicts California man for attempted murder of Justice Kavanaugh. I don't know if you'll remember, but a couple of days ago, I had said about this guy who was prepared to shoot Justice Kavanaugh, that I understand why someone would stop the crime. Someone can have, you know, a sudden moral awakening and say, oh no, murder is wrong, I shouldn't do this, or oh no, I shouldn't spend the rest of my life in prison. But what I wasn't understanding is how in the hell did he call himself the police from basically the lawn of Brett Kavanaugh? He was in front of the house of Brett Kavanaugh and reported himself to the police and said, you know, I'm here to kill Brett Kavanaugh. I need psychiatric help. Now we understand better. A woman is behind this. He called his sister, and his sister did exactly what Jordan Peterson and Warren Farrell did in their episode. Her sister insisted that he calls 911. So you have just resulted in your child, in your brother, being in jail for a lot of time. He's going to be accused of attempted murder. So this is many years for sure. I don't think it was the best counseling. You might want to stop the crime of going on, but you don't have to counsel your loved one to violate their right against self-incrimination. A lawyer, for example, wouldn't tell you, call the police now and tell them everything. A lawyer would say, you have a right against self-incrimination. How about you go back to your home? Chill. You've done nothing wrong up to now. Chill. But if you call 911 and you say, I intended to kill Brett Kavanaugh, then it's attempted murder, you idiot. So calling your sister for advice. Thankfully, I have no sister. You know, thankfully, I'll never find myself in that situation. Hordes of Americans are moving to Mexico to escape rapidly rising inflation in the U.S. times sure have changed. Americans to be the increasing prevalence of work at home opportunities has made it easier for Americans to be employed in the U.S. while living in Mexico, and there are multitudes of others that actually make a commute across the southern border on a daily basis. I find it nice that there's more mobility, because with more mobility, the systems of exploitation and the poor politics of certain places can be properly punished. But I don't know that Mexico is... I don't know that Mexico should be your target. It seems that crime is pretty high there. It's a very high poverty place. I wouldn't go there. I ran across an ad, says Das Niche, for some supposed conservative search engine on YouTube. I tested it with great replacement and white replacement, and the top result was an ad having something to do with, do you need help, someone to talk to? It's so ridiculous when they do that. This is typically what a social worker, psychologist type of person will think. It's like, oh, we're going to improve the world. They need help. We're going to send them toward help. And you don't realize that by obfuscating an obvious truth, you are demonstrating that these offers for help are condescending demonstrations that the system rejects the truth if needed, and therefore that if you are born, if you happen to be born with a love for the truth, you are the wrong person in a wrong era. You are not social enough for today's world. I wouldn't be surprised that they're going to end up pushing young men to commit mass shootings with this crap. Ariel Suarez says, I do have a sister. You dodge a bullet there, JF. I'm pretty sure I did. Although, you know, it depends, I guess. I don't know. There must be some sisters that are fine. I mean, there are some women that are fine. So there must be some sisters that are not annoying. We're going to have to be very careful with this news item, okay, guys? But I have to report it. This is a news show. Who will rename monkeypox virus to combat racism and stigma? They're pulling the plug. It's game over. Precious metals expert and financial writer Bill Halter said in early April that he thought we did not have much time until the financial meltdown started. He gave it 60 days. 2 months later, the meltdown started in earnest right on time, and we are currently totally in the meltdown. Although Wall Street is saying don't panic, and I would stand with them on this. First, the 0.75% increase of the Fed tonight had been expected because that's what led to the crash of Bitcoin in the last 2 weeks. There were rumors coming out and journalists saying, yeah, they're headed toward the 0.75. And as we've discussed with Jan earlier, the economy is due for a cleanup. There are so many people living on the company paycheck, which is funded by the rise of stock market values, but these companies don't produce anything desirable, and they're basically just waiting to go bankrupt. It's a matter of time, and some of them may have stacked so much money that it may take a lot of time before they go bankrupt. But the system has to refocus on actual production and actual things that people buy. People buy food, people buy basic equipment, people buy cars, people need computers, and people need water and all of the utilities. That's what people buy. And a healthy economy is an economy in which only these things survive. And the freaking crap plastic gift that your wife really wants from China, this doesn't pass the test, and it shouldn't be available. So we're going to be headed toward a restriction of the available stuff in the economy, and I like it. The Fed has hiked rates by the most in 28 years, signaling a Volcker era back, that is an era during which the Fed is serious about restricting the money flows in the economy and making money a rare thing. That is so creepy. Scientists make slightly sweaty robot finger with living skin. These guys have not watched Terminator. They're exactly doing what Terminator has gone through. They're now doing the whole skin wrap of the robot. I mean, it's a matter of time and effort before we get to Terminator-like robots. Disclose.tv, Justin. Biden admin announces the release of another 45 million. Oh, that was just in, but yesterday. The release of another 45 million barrels of crude oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. It's not going to have any lasting effect. You are just dumping the reserves of America for a minuscule temporary effect on gas prices. The gas prices problem is structural, and it's in the fact that everyone knows that under the Democrat current administration, there is no expansion of our production capacity. So you have to fix this fundamental if you want gas prices to fix themselves. Biden allies' bill would slap 21% surtax on oil profits. That is also not a solution. You're just going to take more money from the gas producers and gas distributors, and they're gonna have to find a way to avenge themselves, to find a way to make that money, and it's going to be by increasing the price at the gas pump. It's like they're trying everything that we know will not work. Arizona School Club on Leadership and Diversity asks students if their heterosexuality was a phase they would grow out of. And that's why you don't want, if you can afford it, you don't want to send your child to public school. A phase they would grow out of. You want to know how long that phase has been happening, the idea of heterosexuality, for any human alive. There is a chain of heterosexual penis to vagina sex dating back more than a billion years. That's how long the phase has been going. Even if you're gay in 2022, you're the first gay of a chain of beings that weren't gay for a billion years. And you want me to pay attention to the 60 years of your little existence? Those 60 years pale in comparison to the chain of heterosexual beings that were needed to give you the chance of being alive. Fractal Man sends a super chat. He says, JF, do you have any thoughts on DALL-E? The AI art creator. I've seen the word DALL-E. I don't think I've consulted this in depth. Let's see. Everything to know about DALL-E Mini, the mind-bending AI creator. Ever wonder what Batman looks like surfing? DALL-E Mini can help you bring that vision to life. Nightmare fuel is in no short supply on the internet. The latest source just might be an artificial intelligence tool called DALL-E Mini, which has been capturing attention thanks to the weird, funny, and occasionally disturbing images it creates out of text prompts. Okay. Interesting. I mean, you could chain produce NFTs with this, and you could undercut the current NFT market, because the current NFT market is like, oh, we only have 7,000 of our pot smoking apes. This will be the only 7,000s ever released, and someone could come and say, we have a billion DALL-E plushes. We're happy selling it to you for 1 cent. And then you would have a billion cent. And then you would be like, okay, now I'm producing 10 billion DALL-E plushes. I'm happy to sell it for half a cent each. It's time to undercut the NFT market so that NFTs can converge to their true value. Zero in most cases. Column Awkworks says, see what it makes when you type TRP. Yeah, what would DALL-E think of create the revolutionary phenom? Don't tell him. Don't tell him that. He's gonna unleash something onto humanity. Atlanta Fed slashes Q2 GDP forecast to zero, confirming technical recession. So if their prediction comes true, we would be in a recession in a couple of months from now. the trucker convoy Tyson Billings, aka Freedom George, released from jail after guilty plea. So he was one. He was the first of the Freedom Convoy people to plead guilty. One thing I learned about the Canadian justice system, I didn't know that at all. It appears that more than 70 or 75% of the time spent in jail in Canada is before you had the trial. So basically, people are being put in jail preemptively, and then they get found guilty, and then they subtract and they say, all right, you're now liberated because you've spent enough time in jail. I didn't know it was that much. It means that we don't have the presumption of innocence. We have people being intimidated in jail. They already know that they've been spending time in jail, and they pay their time before even the justice system gets to give them a trial. Absolutely disgusting and dangerous. But in this case, this guy from inside the jail pled guilty to one count, and that gave him a deal allowing him to get out of jail and not be, perhaps the other counts will not be pursued against him. Biden administration sued over records on withholding COVID-19 treatment from Florida. This will be interesting to follow because they are asking for what were the government discussions when you decided to not give the primary antibody cure to Florida. Because we've had a couple of information about this from Project Veritas, I believe. One moment. So they had found that some people, I believe, maybe it's InfoWars, maybe it's not Project Veritas, but there was a guy with a hidden camera and he was saying, why can't I have the antibody cure? And they were denying him because he wasn't black, basically he was white. And they were like, we have a priority imposed by the federal government. We have to find that many minority people before we get to serving whites. And it's going to be very interesting because some illegal things may have happened during these discussions. If they have decided to judge people on race before giving that, and if they have decided to punish the whole state of Florida, it may be based on political preference, and it may have been ultimately a way for Joe Biden to punish those states who weren't so warm about the vax stuff. John Drake says, what about Canada stopping the vax passports to fly? We called it, JF. They got tired, as you said they would. Exactly. I've not even covered it, but I've seen the news pass. It seems, I don't know, is it already ended or... I think they've ended it for outgoing flights, so you can leave Canada without a vax passport, and I think it won't be long before you can get back into Canada without a vax passport also. So, of course, they would get tired because we're hitting strong on certain industries and to the point where these industries cannot live anymore. you cannot operate the aviation industry by saying 40% of people are now excluded from buying a plane ticket. It just doesn't work. You have economies of scale that totally disappear. So yes, I'm happy that it went as I called it, and it's what's going to keep happening. We're barely making it. Furious Farmer goes viral explaining why food prices are going to go up. Well, she's complaining. Look at what she's complaining about. Can we get the audio or no? Well, anyways, I'll let you know what she's complaining about. She's complaining that they asked for a contract that would set the diesel price that their farm would buy for the fall. They wanted a fixed price for the diesel that they would eventually buy. And the company refused it and said, we can't predict what the price of diesel will be. It could be very high in the fall. So we're not going to allow this contract to... we don't accept this deal. To be honest, I understand that perhaps she is contrary as a farmer. It doesn't allow her to plan her stuff in advance. But to be honest, you're not entitled to a fixed diesel price, lady. Like, what you're asking for is future guarantees of price. This is impossible in the current context, and you know, if there are financial products, if she wanted to go buy futures on the market in some institution, she could very well buy insurance to guarantee a certain price for diesel, but she would have to pay the fees for it. It's not the job of the fuel delivery company to guarantee you a future price. You're asking them to basically think like a broker in a bank. They can't do that. So I take the side of the company on this, although I understand that this kind of uncertainty will shock the farming sector. But it has to. You have to pay the price of diesel based on the demand of diesel that there is and the offer. Two American fighters are missing in Ukraine and feared captured. Well, you get what you deserve. You joined a war. You joined the side of Ukraine. It's a war in which America didn't have primary interest other than the ones we really insist on cultivating there. And so they might have lost their lives. They've not been reached for 1 week, and they are thought to be captured or maybe dead. That's what happens when you go fight a foreign nation on your own as a mercenary. Elon Musk, that's interesting. Elon Musk leaning towards DeSantis for president in 2024 predicts massive red wave in midterms. Tesla and soon-to-be Twitter CEO Elon Musk says he's leaning towards supporting Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for president in 2024 as former President Trump, who owns Twitter competitor Truth Social, didn't make the cut. In a Tuesday evening Twitter thread in which Musk admitted to voting for Texas Congresswoman Mara Flores, "the first time I ever voted Republican," adding, "massive red wave in 2022. Very interesting. I'm kind of excited at a DeSantis presidency. There are things that are imperfect about DeSantis, and I don't think he will fix America for good. But he can certainly bring a massive triggering of the left, and he can enact genuinely right-wing positions in the way the government functions. Now, I don't think he's going to drain the swamp, so I think he's going to ultimately be faced with the same problem as Trump. I hope that we get to a campaign and he eventually promises to truly drain the swamp. But that means firing 95% of the... 95% of the workforce in intelligence services administration, basically just chop the federal government away. I don't think he's going to have the balls to do so. So we're going to get probably a couple of symbolic victories under a DeSantis presidency, a couple of laws that will be like Florida-like. You have to take what you get. That's what the system will give us. Dino Legovic says, it would stall the inevitable and allow some time for good people to organize a safe exit. Yeah, exactly. That's how you have to see it. Not as a final victory, but as, you know, maybe you're not going to be persecuted for being white during that particular 4 years. Mitch McConnell says he will likely vote for gun control bill that includes red flag laws. See, that's exactly why a DeSantis presidency won't change much. We have the uniparty. We have a bunch of Republican legislators that are basically Democrats, and they're willing to side with red flag laws, which is basically the implementation of family courts, which were limited to the family domain. They will now be extended to your gun rights. And so the standard of evidence in these courts will be there's some woman saying that you're an abuser. Vaccine mandates for domestic travel, outgoing international flights to be suspended. That's exactly what someone was asking about. June 20 is the date where it will be effective. Yeah, at some point, even Canada cannot hit on itself so hard, destroy its own industry. At some point, there were probably people controlling the planes in Canada saying to the government, look, we're not going to be able to run airports anymore. Crypto up, crypto down, the two feelings. When crypto is up, haha, have fun staying poor. How about suck it? I don't talk to poors. And when crypto is going down, the Bitcoin community suddenly loses its toxicity. And suddenly they're saying, can't we all just be nice? Aristotle once said, it's the journey, not the destination. Laughing? Really mature. Yes, I feel that we are very much in the crypto down where, you know, there's not this kind of abundance and this aggressive display of, yeah, I'm making profit. Ah! It's more like, yeah, you know, the technology of Bitcoin is still very interesting. I like this calm moment in which we are, although I hope that we are back to a bull run in the coming years. I will not show this image, but Twitter has a trending feature where they show the faces of the 31 Patriot Front members who were basically arrested for being on their way to a protest. They wanted to do a protest. They wanted to do a counter-protest to the Pride Month, and they were arrested for basically being in a van together. And they show all of their names and they put it as a Twitter trend. They show their pictures, and Vice News says 31 white supremacists crammed in a U-Haul, and the title is Everything We Know About the 31 Patriot Front Members Arrested in a U-Haul. So it's like they've been arrested to be doxxed, to be exposed nationally, to be harassed, and Twitter is fully standing with that harassment by featuring them as Twitter trends. Given that Nick Sandman has been successful, I wonder to what extent these guys could sue Twitter, because they are not public persona. They are not e-celebs, they are people who were wearing masks when they were headed at the protest. So it's not like they gave up their identity willingly. It's really Vice and Twitter here coordinating with the state to get their identity and to expose it. I don't know, perhaps they would have a case. Unfortunately, when it's a judiciary matter, it is very often considered considered a public matter, so they will always be able to argue that they were public. People are saying you have lost the video, no video, buffering intermittently. All right, it was the end of the show anyway. You might have to watch the end on the upload. Yeah, I was added toward the end of the show. Alas, sorry for those who have experienced buffering, but a last news item. Ryan Gosling brings bleach blonde hair and an orange six-pack to Barbie. I'm excited about the Barbie movie. I like movies that stand for something. And it is my impression that the Barbie movie will be a very exaggerated, very pinkish, very... It will have a style to it. Now, I don't know if it will have a good script and a good story, but I don't know, I'm excited. Like, because in the 90s, there were these extremely exaggerated, stereotypical movies. And we don't get this anymore. We get this kind of subtle, artsy... everything is so smooth in this movie. You don't really know. Are you the camera or are you the guy? I want a Barbie movie. I want a Barbie movie where she moves like a Barbie, and I want everything pink. I think I'm gonna get it with Ryan Gosling as Ken. Wasn't, in my view, Ken is supposed to have black hair. I don't know. Is it the first time we see Ken with blonde bleach hair? Anyways, while we wait for the Barbie movie to come out, you can watch The Crucible. It's a very good movie, 1996. And thank you for being here tonight. Do we have stuff on the schedule? I think we have guests coming. Oh yeah, Joseph Cotto will be coming next Monday. This will be the 20th. Joseph Cotto, we will be talking about his new book. I still haven't read it, but I'll read it before he comes. Dino Legovic says, Jeff wants a Barbie movie. Time to sell all your stock. That's the ultimate indicator of a bear market. It's when Papa JF feels the need for the Barbie movie. Mama JF, did you have something to say before we close the show?
Yeah, the Crucible happened in 1700. I thought it happened in the 2000s.
In the 2000s? Yes. Well, I mean,
it's still like that today.
Yes, it is. It is, and it's so dramatic that this movie exists, and yet society reconverged toward doing witch hunts. It's just that we don't hunt witches anymore. We hunt men, and that's a problem. Thank you.